person? Well, some of the scholars say that this is one of the most significant passages. This is one of those turning point passages in Matthew's gospel as it outlines Jesus' ministry. In fact, you compare this with the three synoptic gospels that kind of are more of a narrative, and you combine that in with John's gospel, more of the reflective, looking back kind of story of Jesus, you find that this is the beginning of where the bubble bursts. Everyone is following him. They want the loaves and fishes. They want the free lunch. They want the miracles. They want the entertainment. And Jesus is saying, unless you follow me, you must deny yourself, take up your cross daily, and walk in my ways. You must follow me. And everyone's going, this is hard. We don't want to do this. And on top of it all, instead of this great excitement, this big movement, by the way, aren't you all happy that Britney Spears now is Britney Spears? I mean, isn't that just amazing? After all this, it's on national news. Well, Jesus had this national news thing, only it wasn't like it's all going his way. He's saying, I'm going to die on a cross. You're going to be persecuted. You're going to turn against one another. But God is at work in you in ways you don't know. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And the crowd looks at this and goes, this is hard. We don't want to do this anymore. And there comes a day not far away between the political pressure of the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the Romans, the scribes, and the difficulties of following Jesus. A whole lot of people went away. And here's the seeds of it right here. How come you don't obey the tradition of the elders? Oh, yeah? How come you don't obey the commands of God? So, I want to talk to you today about how important the commands of the Lord are. There are three kinds of people who are going to stand before God and give an account. And I think we all fit in one of these categories. The first one is the kind of person who just ignores God's word. There are people going up and down Highway 60 this very hour who could care less what this book says. What they do not yet realize is that these words will judge their life. And so you can ignore it. You can go on and say, well, I'm sure the Bible says be a good person, so I'm going to be a good person, and it'll all be okay. That's not what this book says. This book says there's none righteous, no, not one. You must be born again. You must have a transformational encounter with Jesus Christ that is so unique, it's like getting born all over again. There's another group of people going to be judged by this book, who said, I know what I ought to do. I know what God's word says, but I'm not gonna. I want to do my thing. I want to walk my way. I don't want to do what God says, and I know it. Okay. Be prepared. No excuse. You made your choice. Take the consequence. Now I'm going to zero in a little more on us church types, because we're a lot like, in some ways, those scribes and those Pharisees, where we believe it, we know, we're not ignoring it, we come study it every week, we're not deliberately disobeying it because we want to live up to what the standards of the Bible are, but we're in danger of invalidating it because we know what the Bible says, and yet we are unwilling to bring our life into conformity to the same level of what God says. Or we know that this is the lane God wants us in, and we'll just kind of slip outside that lane a little bit, you know? And what Jesus told them is something that you and I need to watch. That if we're not careful, the word in the scriptures that you will nullify the word of God. God put it out for a reason. God made a way for us for his purpose. And yet if we don't grab a hold of that and make that fully our own, we end up becoming the hypocrite that other people look at. We become the excuse or the lack of genuine obedience that other people look at and go, see, you're not perfect. Why should I follow Jesus? If you're not perfect, you don't represent him very well. So in our text today, it's one of the clearest statements about having our heart right with God wherever we are in life. If you don't know Jesus, you need to hear about him and you need to give your heart to the Lord. If you do know Jesus, you need to reconnect constantly. You need to take up that cross daily and follow him, lest we be guilty of invalidating or nullifying the clear instruction of what God says. I'm just going to mention the scribes and the Pharisees. These were the lawyers and the legal people. The scribes were dedicated to the Word of God. They came out of Ezra's time. You remember a few weeks ago we said Ezra figured out that Israel was punished because we did not take seriously the law of the Lord, the Word of God. And you know what? Jesus is quoting the Old Testament. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of the Lord. We're to teach these to our people. Ezra said, oh my goodness, look what happened to our history. We've got to be committed to living out the Word of God. But then, as often happens, other people start to build on that. And there were other rabbis who came along, and they said, well, that's what Ezra said in his day, but this is what we say in our day. And they made a whole other book about the book. And then you know what's funny? Is they made a book about the book about the book. And by the time Jesus came along, the scribes and the Pharisees had a book about the book about the book that was the book. And I'll just say, honestly, I see how that can happen. When I prepare for my sermons, I'll consult books, commentaries. What have smart people said about this? What have people who have in church history at a different moment in time, what have they said about this? Ladies and gentlemen, there's nothing wrong with reading other books, but it doesn't take the place of the book. And it's silly when we get up and we tell you more about the book learning than we talk about what the book says. It's simple. Honor your father and mother. And the Pharisees couldn't do it because they'd read so many books. They had put in a barrier between obedience and knowledge. So, both became known for their labels instead of their loyalties. By the way, the Pharisees, though, they were freedom fighters. Back in the day when Rome came in, they stood up and they said, we're not worshiping these false idols that you're bringing with us. We will stand for the truth. And there's a lot of Jewish history in there, but at one point in time, the scribes and the Pharisees had a very godly purpose. But by the time you get to Jesus, it's like they've lost the cause. They've so insulated themselves, it's now more about go along to get along, than it is about being obedient to what the Scripture says. And they could not see the obvious difference between the disciples plucking the grain of wheat and eating sunflower seeds on their walk. That seems so small. We're straining the gnat and swallowing the camel. The camel was they would not obey the Lord. So the premise of my message, I think it's on the next line, it goes along this way. Just because we believe the Word of God, we're not exceptions to its message. To believe the Bible or to serve the Lord does not exempt us from what Scripture asks us to do plainly. Let me give you a couple examples. Point number one. Our service to God does not release us from the standards of God's Word. You need to know the difference between a tradition and a commandment. I will never forget the soldier I talked to, and he said, you know, When we get home off of this deployment, I'm not going back to my home church. There's a new pastor there, and he doesn't sing the doxology when we bring the offering forward. It's just not the same. Let me ask you, ladies and gentlemen, is it a good thing to sing the doxology? Is there anywhere in Scripture where it says, thou must sing the doxology when you bring the offering from the back of the church to the front of the church? Do you think you ought to forsake the assembling of yourselves together because the church or the new pastor or the new music guy or the new whatever doesn't sing the doxology the way they used to? What is a tradition and what is a commandment? Another guy. I'm not going to go back to that church because we no longer have the fall hayride. Really? Is a hayride a sin? Have you ever found in here that a hayride is a sin? I think it would be a blessing, especially with hot apple cider, don't you? But is it a tradition or is it a command? One more. When I was a child growing up, we always had a candlelight service at Christmas Eve. You know what I said to that? How wonderful. Does it say you have to have a candlelight service on Christmas Eve? Does it say you have to have Christmas? Now wait, trick question. Why do we celebrate Christmas? Because we have Christmas. Jesus was born. Unto us was born a Savior. Do you have to celebrate it a certain way? No. And a lot of us, we've got warm fuzzies in our heart when we think of Aunt Grace, who always made the Christmas pudding. Or Uncle Joe, who always had the guitar, or whatever. Those are wonderful, great things. Are they the command of God? The Pharisees made two mistakes. They thought that the Word of God was equal to the ideas of men. And if that wasn't bad enough, they thought the ideas of men were equal to the commands of God. And we get caught up in keeping our traditions rather than obeying the commands. We must know the difference. And I would say to you, we live in a day where new traditions are emerging all the time. I'm telling you about the whiz bang wonder thing. We can listen to Straightway on our phones. Is that cool or what? Blessing, yes. Command of God, no. Nothing against Straightway. But other people are growing up saying, well, I never had the hayride. I never had the Christmas Eve service. I never had the doxology. We're not less of a Christian because of that. What does the Bible say? We ought to praise the Lord. We ought to bring our gifts. We ought to fellowship with one another. We ought to gather on the Lord's day. We ought to read and know this book. We ought to take care of dad and mom, even if it costs us. Those are the commands. Now, how you do that? Be creative. Enjoy it. Our service to God doesn't release us from the standards of God's Word just because of our experience. Secondly, it doesn't release us from the responsibility of obedience. Jesus made it very clear that no matter what the tax laws at the temple were, it did not supersede what God said in the Ten Commandments about honoring your father and your mother. And ladies and gentlemen, it is so easy for us to pick and choose the parts of obedience that we want to do, that are easy for us to do. But the high calling of God in Christ Jesus, that we aim high and go for all of it. We're to obey in our thought life. We're to obey in our family life. We're to obey in our careers. I recently heard of a friend who resigned his current position because of the choice that other people made that was outside the clear word of God. And he was willing to put his career on the line and change jobs to be obedient. I believe God will honor that. We're not relieved from the responsibility of obedience. Thirdly, our service or our love for the Lord doesn't release us from the consequences of our sin. This is hard, especially if you go to church a lot. This is hard. Because we are prone to look at other people and we go, see what happened to that person? That's the consequence of their sin. Consequence with the sequence. You disobey the Lord, you reap the rewards of disobedience. But ladies and gentlemen, that is just as true for those who are inside the church at 10 or 11 o'clock on Sunday morning as it is outside the church. A few very practical examples. Not picking on anybody, just saying, if you don't take care of your body, you're gonna get sick whether you believe in Jesus or not. In an early church experience, here was a deacon who smoked like a chimney. Is anybody surprised he came down with cancer? We sit in church on Sunday, and I say again, you know, isn't it amazing how our marriages and our relationships stay together? Because there are more arguments per square family on Sunday morning on the way to church than any other hour of the week. My marriage got better when we got two cars. Who had to be at church early? Who had three little girls to get diapered and dressed up and everybody looked like they're nice little? Our marriage got better when we got two cars so I could go and Susan could get there when she could get there. And that's not fair to her. I know that. And I just say that to throw in the thing, ladies and gentlemen, the expectations we place on those that we put in front of us sometimes are not always reasonable. So, if you think you're an exception to God's standard of morality, it'll destroy your home just like it'll destroy anybody else's home. It doesn't matter if you're the preacher, the deacon, the Sunday school teacher, or the good old boy. If you disobey God's word about tithing, the devourer comes your way. If you lie, you're known as a liar. If you cheat, you become a cheater. If you shortcut and shortchange in your relationship with other people, you will earn the same names Jesus called these folks: hypocrites, false plants, and blind guides. And I'm looking at that going, you know what? Those were the religious people of his day, and Jesus had to look at them and say, you're not cutting the mustard. Quit pretending that you're something you're not. Get under the word of God, get obeying, be doing what God asks of you to do, and God will bless. God will honor. God will produce the fruit. Problem is, we want all the benefits of obedience, but we don't want to be obedient. And what Jesus is saying is you will not be released from the consequences of sin. I've said over and over and over, we are all proving the word of God true. We're either doing it by our obedience or we're doing it by our disobedience. God has never winked at sin, and he's not going to start with you and me. And point number four, our service to God does not release us from the call to purity and holiness. And what Jesus was saying is very simple. You are not made holy because your hands are ritually cleansed or you eat special food that was dedicated to God. There's nothing wrong with that. We ought to say grace before our meals. But that is not magic hocus pocus what happens to the roast beef sandwich. When we say grace over our meals, what we are doing is we're bowing our head, and from our heart, we are offering a praise of thanksgiving to God because He provides for us and He loves for us. And if even the sparrows and the flowers can get their needs met, how much more does our Heavenly Father love us? Give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, and His mercy endures forever. It is not about wearing certain clothes to church. It is not about a certain time. It is not about having a special parking place or a special parking place for our bottoms in the pews. It is about walking into the house of the Lord and having the right heart. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. God, I need your help. Holy Spirit, come and fill my life, because what is coming out of my heart is not of the Holy Spirit. It is that sin that is in it. Lord Jesus, I need you. And I come here to fill my cup. I come here to plug in and recharge. We take better care of our cell phones than we do our spiritual lives. And we shouldn't. And so I think what Jesus was saying is, you guys got it all wrong. Peter, don't you even get it? It isn't about what you eat. It isn't about the car you drive. It isn't about all those externals. Out of your heart is coming either good things or bad things. And that tells you where your heart is. I appreciate the testimonies today. If you know Jesus, it's one kind of thing. And if you don't know Jesus, or if you say you know Jesus and the wrong stuff is coming out, check the heart. Because out of the heart comes all of those things. I have a real cheesy slideshow for you. Let's see if it'll play. They tell me you never tune a piano to another piano. Now, I'll defer to Gary Davis or Judy or these other experts, but I kind of like this. You know why? Because if you are successful, all of the problems in the first piano get transferred over to the second piano. So what do? And man, I wish I could have found one, but you find a tuning fork. And everybody keys to the tuning fork and not to each other. And when piano A is in harmony with the tuning fork and piano B is in harmony to the tuning fork, what about those two pianos? Here's the cheesy part. It can be a guy or a gal. It can be one skin color or another skin color. It can be a rich person and a poor person. It can be whatever. Anytime you try to follow or tune your life to somebody else, you will be disappointed. What's God's answer for that? Final cheesy slide. I'm not asking you to follow me. I'm not asking you to be like me or not to be like me. I'm asking you to tune your heart to the Word of God, which is always right and will guide you in any culture, in any moment, in any day. It will make your world work. I got enough trouble tuning my heart to the Word of God. But this I know. If you'll open the Word of God and obey the Lord, and I'll open the Word of God and obey the Lord, do you know what happens to us? We walk together in harmony. Jesus called out the Pharisees because He said, you've really, really missed it. You have elevated your own ideas and you think everybody needs to be just like you. They don't. They need to be like Jesus. this book is Jesus Christ in written form. Make Him a part of your life. If you're here today and you don't know Christ, don't leave without Him. Tune your heart to sing His praise, to walk in His ways, and to do His will. Lord, the time goes so fast, and yet so many great things happen. I ask Your Spirit to just press home Your message to each person's heart today. May we, Father, not consider ourselves special or excuse our behavior in any way. We who know and serve the Lord ought to be the most excited about obedience and not looking for ways to get out of it. And I pray again that Your Spirit would show us where and how we need to make changes. If there's one here today who has never claimed Christ as Lord or wishes to make a public decision in any way, Lord, we invite them to step out and step up to the Lord Jesus. It's in His name we pray. Amen. Okay, join me standing. Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Let's sing that together.